As mentioned, I'm from Los Angeles County, and I'll be presenting data on STD co-infection among acute HIV patients in Los Angeles County. I'll begin with a brief overview of what acute HIV is for those of you who aren't as familiar with it. Basically, acute HIV is an early stage of infection right after the HIV RNA is detectable by a NAT test, but before the HIV antibodies are detectable by the traditional EIA antibody test currently being used in screening. So in this case, you can see in this graph that the HIV RNA becomes detectable at about 11 days. And with the more recent generation of EIA tests, the antibody is detectable at 22 days. So in this situation, the acute HIV infection would be between that period. This is just a representation of the same concept. You can also see HIV RNA in the middle being detectable at about 1.5 weeks, and then the HIV EIA picking up the antibodies beginning at 3 weeks for the third generation test, all the way out to 5.5 weeks for the first generation EIA tests. In Los Angeles County, we do our NAT screening with a two-stage pooling process in order to reduce costs. So to recap, if a patient tests EIA non-reactive, they are then tested again with the NAT, and if they are NAT positive, then they are presumptive acute HIV infection and later confirmed with confirmatory tests. So that brings us to our objective, which is to examine the prevalence of STDs among a cohort of acutely infected HIV patients. So why is it important to identify STD co-infection in HIV patients? Well, first, STDs in HIV-positive individuals increases the risk of HIV transmission. This figure below is probably one that many of you have seen before. It's by Cohen and Pilcher. And what it shows is how each STD episode can cause a spike of the viral load in semen above the threshold necessary for HIV transmission. In addition, in acute HIV infection, individuals are highly infectious. Studies have suggested over 40% of new infections may be caused by persons with primary HIV infection. So basically, we're dealing with a stage that's already highly infectious to begin with, and then potentially compounding that by adding another STD. Along the same lines, treatment of STDs in HIV co-infected may reduce HIV transmission. Also, after people become aware they are HIV positive, the prevalence of high-risk sexual behavior is reduced substantially. So the additional diagnosis of HIV in addition to STD may provide even more impetus to change behavior than perhaps just an STD diagnosis alone. So in LA County, we detected, we screened for acute HIV in 13 public health department STD clinics, the mobile testing unit, two community STD clinics whose clients were predominantly MSM, and a jail unit designed to house MSM and transgenders. Data for analysis was collected from three different sources. The first was the STD HIV behavioral intake form, which was administered at the clinics. Test results were obtained from the Public Health Laboratory testing database. And final disposition on disease was obtained from the STD program general surveillance database. So it was just a matter of integrating these three databases to get the results. So we come to our results. And this study we have 2 full years of data now. Beginning from February 2006 through January 2008. The first column shows the total number screened by EIA tests and the corresponding seroprevalence in each of those sites. The second column is the number of acute HIV infections detected at each site. And the third column is the percent of increased HIV infection detected at each site as a result of additional screening by the NAT test. So overall, the HIV NAT testing led to a 6% increase in HIV detection ranging up to 20% in one of our sites and 7% in another site. This translates to basically 1,000 EIA negative individuals who need to be screened in order to detect one acute HIV. And in the higher yield sites, that drops down to 1 out of 275 individuals and 1 out of 433 in another site. So before I get into the actual SCD co-infection, I'll begin by describing the characteristics of this cohort of acute HIV that we detected. So we detected 41 cases of acute HIV. The viral loads were not quantified to a specific amount, exact amount, that is. But from here, you can still see that there's a wide variation in viral loads, some over 500,000 and some all the way down to about 1,000. 25 patients, or 61%, presented with symptoms. This is consistent with acute HIV stage being associated with fever and flu-like symptoms elsewhere. Out of the 41 cases, we had 39 males, one transgendered male to female, and one female. There are 27 MSM and 11 MSMW for a combined 93% of this cohort being men who have had sex with men. The number of sex partners is shown in this slide, and you can see that a large majority had at least two or more sex partners, with about a quarter of the cohort having six or more in the 3 months prior to diagnosis. 38 or 93% reported some sort of anal intercourse, with 29 of them reporting both insertive and receptive. What's striking is that only 13% or 5 cases reported always using a condom during anal intercourse, leaving 87% either never using or only sometimes using. 73% also reported having ever met anonymous sex partners. 14 of these they met through the internet, 9 reported meeting partners through bars, clubs, and 6 reported meeting them through bathhouses and sex clubs. 5 also reported sex with intravenous drug users in the year prior to diagnosis, and 8 of them, or 20%, reported sex with HIV-positive partners in the year prior to diagnosis. Over half of the cases, or 20 of them, used one or more drugs. 15 had reported using methamphetamines in the year prior to diagnosis. 5 had reported using Viagra, and what's interesting about the Viagra is everybody who reported Viagra use reported it in use with in combination with at least one other drug. So in essence, Viagra sort of kind of becomes this proxy for sexual activity while under the influence. So basically, what we're seeing so far in this cohort is we're seeing a group of people who are commonly engaging in many high-risk behaviors. That being said, we get to the SCD co-infection. 39 of the 41 acute HIV cases were tested for at least one SCD. All 39 were tested for CT and GC, and 37 were tested for syphilis. 18, or almost half of the cases, were co-infected based on the lab test results. 4 out of 37 were co-infected with early syphilis. 7 out of 39 were co-infected with CT. And 14, or 36%, or over a third of them, were in fact co-infected with gonorrhea. And 6 were also co-infected with STD. This figure shows a crude comparison of the prevalence rates in our 12 STD clinics versus that among our acute HIV cases. So the white bar shows the prevalence of early syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea among all visits to our STD clinics. And the purple bar shows the same prevalence among the MSM visits to our clinics. And just from this graph, you can see how among the acute HIV, the prevalence of these STDs were much, much higher than the general population. So in conclusion, STD co-infection in the acute stage of HIV infection is common. There's increased likelihood of acute HIV among MSMs with a diagnosis of an STD. Also, with recent high-risk sexual exposure, such as anonymous partners, sex with IDU, sex with HIV positive partners, and also with other risk history, including methamphetamine use, Viagra use, and the meeting of anonymous partners from the internet. So individuals with acute HIV and an STD co-infection provide a good target for intervention to reduce HIV transmission. Based on those conclusions, recommendations would be any MSM presenting for evaluation of an STD with a negative HIV antibody test should be tested for acute HIV infection. Conversely, any individuals with acute HIV should also be tested for other STDs. And of course, I'd like to acknowledge all the people from various organizations who are